Well, praise the Lord. We are in a series about hearing God, and I believe it is one of the most important things that we could ever learn to do is to learn to hear God. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." We can learn to hear, to know his voice. Jesus said, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." And I just want to remind you, it's because we know him. It's because we have a relationship with him that we can know his voice. See, a lot of Christians have never really learned to recognize his voice. And I think one of the reasons is they just don't realize how important it is. Now, we talked about you got to believe that he speaks. I think that's probably the biggest problem with a lot of Christians. They don't believe that God would speak to them, and so they don't bother to listen. But another reason is because I don't think people realize just how critical, just how important it is that we learn to hear the Lord speak. We got to choose to spend time with him, to sit at his feet and hear his word. Remember, that's the one thing that we need. We got to decide that it's more important than whatever else. Amen. Back some years ago, Jamaica was a British colony, but after their independence, the government decided that they were going to switch from the British pound to the dollar. And some people were really concerned about it because they thought the people would not be able to understand and make the switch because a lot of the people were illiterate. But somebody said, "No, you don't have to worry about that. They'll get it because it's so much a part of their life." And that's exactly the way it happened. When they switched over to the dollar, the people, they got it real quick because it was so important to their everyday life. They all learned it with no problem. And I'm telling you, if we realize how important it is to hear the voice of the Lord, we'll want to learn. We'll want to be able to hear God for ourselves and know that God is speaking to us. And I want to remind you that hearing God is not a science. You can't put God in a box of, you know, you're going to use your little formula to get God to speak to you. Like, you know, how do we punch God's buttons to get him to talk? It's not like that. It's all about a relationship. And we have to focus on that relationship with the Lord, that we put ourselves in the place where he would speak to us. This morning, I'm going to give you some simple things. I think they're simple, but as it is a lot of the time, they may not be easy to do, but we can do these things. The first one, we need to learn to be still. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." The NASB says, "To cease striving and know that he is God." See, we need to know there is a God and we're not him. And we just need to be still and allow God to be God in our life. I mean, sometimes you just have to make yourself get still. We're all so busy. You know what I'm saying? We're all running to and fro. We got to do this. We got to do that. We're just so busy. But you got to be still if you want to hear God. God can speak to you in the busyness of life. But a lot of the time, it's going to be really hard to hear God speak to you in the noise and the busyness of life if you haven't learned to hear him in the still and in the quiet. I remember one time years ago when the church was in Fort Worth and I was the youth pastor, I was coming home on a Wednesday night and back then, this was before they changed or they redid the changeover of 20 and 35. And as I was coming around 20 and I was coming onto the service road to get onto 35, I just happened to notice another car coming from the other direction at a high rate of speed. And, you know, it's kind of similar to the way it is now in that they came together and there was two lanes. And my natural inclination is I'm in my lane. That guy better stay in his lane. That's my natural inclination. Anybody else kind of bent that way? But I see this car coming at a high rate of speed, but on the inside, and I'm going to say it this way, and then I'll correct it. Something on the inside said to me, the Lord, the Holy Spirit said to me, just slow down. And I slowed down and eventually came to a stop, and I watched that car go flying across the road in front of me, went straight across my lane, and took out what then was a concrete rail on a bridge. Yes, God can speak to you even in the traffic, in the busyness of life. But how we need to learn to hear and to know His voice, to be still in His presence. It's so important that we learn to be still. I mean, we all get busy, you know, we all got problems to take care of, things to tend to, and it seems like we just go faster and faster, we just push harder, and for a lot of us, it's just kind of human nature. But what we really need to do is we just need to stop and focus on the Lord and know that He's God. We get too eaten up with our own importance. And what I mean by that is you might be saying, oh no, I don't think I'm important. But we think that if we don't do this and if we don't run here, if we don't take care of everything and if we don't just go as hard as we can, that like the world's going to fall apart. Be still and know that He is God. See, all of our striving and, you know, to accomplish, to achieve, to attain, all of it will fall short without God's blessing, without us just hearing from God and allowing Him to lead and to guide us. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is another one of those verses where the word here for word is a spoken word, even in what it says next, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, we need to hear what God is saying. Man doesn't live by bread alone, no, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need that. Jesus is telling us, you think you need food? Man doesn't live by just bread. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So yes, we have to hear Him. We have to know when He's speaking to us. But so often, we surround ourselves with all of this noise. For us, I guess, in our time, it's mostly electronic devices. And we're just busy and running and so much noise. Sometimes we might be still on the outside, but on the inside, still going 100 miles an hour. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I want to remind you of Psalm 23, verse 2 and 3. And before I read it, let me just say one more time, be still and know that I'm God. Psalm 23, verse 2 and 3, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. See, if we allow Him to be our shepherd, to lead us and to guide us. And by the way, you know, when we're reading in John chapter 10, the whole time Jesus is talking about His sheep, how His sheep hear His voice. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You see, if we'll just allow the Lord to be in charge and lead and guide us, He will make us lie down in green pastures. Anybody ever just want to lie down? Okay. Well, it comes to you more as you get a little older, but... But what about not just physically, but what about your soul? Just to be able to rest, to relax. I mean, here's the thing about life is that if we don't allow the Lord to lead us to a place where we can rest, sooner or later, life will take you to a place where you will be forced to rest. But if we'll allow Him, the Lord will lead us to a place of rest and peace. To that, He says, He leads me beside the still waters. That's a place of peace. Really, just kind of coincidentally for me this morning, as I'm in the presence of the Lord and I'm just thinking, the Lord is here in my den. And I said, Lord, I really need you to speak to me. I didn't get any profound, awesome word from God, but I knew that He said to me, trust me and rest. And that was all I needed. That was what I needed. I just began to cast my burden over on the Lord, just to trust Him, just to let it go, just to rest. I'm telling you that there is a place of rest and peace in the presence of the Lord if we'll just allow Him, be still and know that I'm God. See, we just got to be willing to trust the Lord. And then David goes on, he says, He restores my soul. When you're still and you know that He's God there in the presence of the Lord, He will restore your soul. But you got to be willing to be still. Next, we need to be quiet. We got to learn to be quiet. James 1:19 says, My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Now, you know what? That's really good advice for your relationships with other people. There's a reason that God gave us two ears and just one mouth. We need to listen more than we talk. But I also want you to understand that as a believer, why would we think that we should do all of the talking in our relationship with God? In fact, I think it's bizarre that there are a lot of evangelical leaders today who think that you should talk to God, but He's not going to talk to you. What kind of a relationship is that? Where you do all of the talking and all you get is dead silence ever. See, we go to God and we pray and we pray and we pray. And the more we pray, the more spiritual that we think we are. I want to remind you that Jesus said, don't think that you will be heard by your many words. I don't know about you, but I guess it doesn't sound very spiritual for me to say it, but most of the time when I hear somebody pray a long time, I just get bored. I mean, say it and get it done. You're not going to be heard by your many words. It's amazing to me how people that say the same thing 14 different ways, like, you know, if I just keep saying the same thing over and over, somehow that's going to get God to move. It is not by long prayers that we get God to move. That's not the answer. Now, don't misunderstand me, and I want to say this, I hope, a couple of times. I think that most of us need to pray a lot more, okay? I said that. I want that to be clear. I'm talking about that we take our requests to God and we talk to God more than we do. But understand this. What will really change things is when we get a word from the Lord. When we hear Him. That's a game changer. Even if it's just one word, it changes things. Now, I know some of you, maybe you've struggled with your prayer life because you pray for a few minutes and then you don't know what else to say. Been there. I want to tell you, that's okay. Sit in the presence of God and be quiet. Be still. And be quiet. If you do all the talking, how are you going to hear Him? Be still and be quiet. I told you this is simple, but for a lot of people, it ends up being something hard to do. But we got to learn to do it. Be still and be quiet. Think about this. The Pharisees prayed all the time. They were really religious about it. And Jesus even said they prayed long prayers just for show. Again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray or pray more. Yeah, I think most people need to pray more. But I'm saying that long prayers don't make you spiritual, because we need to hear from God. Here's what Jesus said about the religious people in John 5:37. He says, "And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor have you seen him." Jesus said, you have never heard his voice. They prayed all the time, but they didn't hear his voice. In the NIV, it says it very plainly. You have never heard his voice. See, we need to get quiet before the Lord if we're going to hear his voice. You ever tried to help somebody that wouldn't stop talking? I've gotten to, you know, experience that too many times. I'm not talking about any of you. But, you know, they're telling you all about their problem. And, you know, I'll just give you an example, and I'll be very vague for obvious reasons. But somebody's telling me all about their problem. And during the process of this conversation and just listening to them, and I was being patient, you know, just listening. But I felt like the Lord gave me some wisdom and some insight that could help them. And so, you know, when they finally paused in their talking, I began to share with them what I felt like the Lord had shown me, you know, just impart wisdom and some insight and some direction, you know. And they looked at me like they were listening to me, but as soon as I stopped, they just picked up with their problem and went right on talking about their problem like I hadn't said a word. And I think that a lot of times that's the way it is with the Lord. We go to the Lord and we pray and we tell him all about the problem. God, do you see this? God, you need to know. God, please help, blah, blah, blah. And then we don't even listen. We don't stop and just be quiet. Next, we need to learn to listen. Be still, be quiet, and listen. Listen. We got to be intentional about it. I'm going to give you all a test this morning to see how many of you are good listeners. So, here we go. You're driving a bus and go east 2 miles and turn south and go 1 mile. 9 passengers board the bus. After going 1 more mile, 4 passengers are dropped off. 2 more passengers board the bus. At the end of the shift, the odometer indicates that the bus traveled 84 miles and 121 passengers boarded the bus. So here's the question. How old is the bus driver? Do you know how old the bus driver is? A couple of you? 3? The very first thing I told you, I said, you are driving a bus. Okay. I'm just messing with you. And I want you to understand, the Lord is not messing with you. He's not trying to trick you. But we need to be intentional about really listening for the Lord's voice and listening to what he says to us. We need to talk less and listen more. Over and over and over, the scripture says things like, let him hear who has ears to hear. We got to learn to listen, to really hear what he's saying to us. There's a story about Franklin Roosevelt that, you know, he often had these long reception lines, and it was so mundane to him, you know. He would greet these people, and they would say something back to him, and the next one, and the next one. And so one day he decided he would try a little experiment just for fun. And so he greeted each one. He would just kind of mutter to them and say, "I killed my grandmother this morning." And they would reply with something like, "You're doing a great job. We're praying for you. You're such a blessing." You know, they would reply with those kinds of niceties until finally he came to the minister from Bolivia and he said to him, "I killed my grandmother this morning." And without missing the beat, the man replied, "I'm sure she had it coming, sir." But but nobody was really listening. And here's the thing. We got to really listen to the voice of the Lord. He will speak to us. He wants to bless us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to strengthen us. Sometimes he wants to correct us. He wants to help us. He wants to work in and through us. He wants to use us. But are we listening? After Elijah destroyed the prophets of Baal, that wicked Jezebel said she was going to have him killed. And so Elijah runs for his life, the great man of God. Now he's running for his life because of this woman. And he's down and depressed and he hides out in a cave. The Lord speaks to him. And I want to read the rest of the story from 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to begin in verse 11. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord." Well, that's some wind, isn't it? "But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice." A still, small voice. Be still, be quiet, and listen. A still, small voice. "So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave." You see, Elijah knew that voice. He recognized that still, small voice. "Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, I almost made it, you shall anoint as your prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him.'" See, the Lord gave him instructions about what he was to do, and he straightened out his thinking. I always say, you show me a messed up life, I will show you some messed up thinking. But Elijah, in his depression and in his fear, his thinking was messed up, and God cleared it up for him. I mean, he thought that he was the only one, and the Lord says, "I've got 7,000. He straightened it out for him. And I want you to know that, you see, as we hear the Lord, sometimes God gives us instructions. Sometimes he'll straighten out our thinking about something. I don't know if the Lord yells, but I know this, if he does, it's not very often. I know that God can speak with a thunderous voice. He could speak through a fire, an earthquake, a wind. He can do whatever he wants to do. But I know that he almost always speaks with a still small voice. And if we're not listening, we'll miss it. So he's not going to come to you with bright lights and a loud sound system. He'll speak to you with a still small voice. Get still. Get quiet. And listen. I mean, if you have to go get alone in a cave somewhere in order to be still and quiet and listen, then that's what you do. Whatever it takes, but you need to get to a place where you can be still, be quiet, and listen. Jesus himself told Pilate, everyone that belongs to the truth listens to me. But Pilate didn't listen to Jesus. Pilate's wife warned him, don't do anything to this man. But Pilate didn't listen to his wife. Instead, Pilate listened to the loud voices of the people. He gave in to the pressure. Luke 23, 23 and 24, it says, but they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. There's lots of loud voices in the world. A lot of the time, you know, you can call it peer pressure or whatever you want to call it, but it's hard to really hear and listen when you've got so many other people, whether it's in person or on social media or just the influence of culture, you got so many others pushing another way. You got to listen for the still small voice. Sometimes there are well-meaning spiritual people who will tell you the wrong thing. When Jesus was talking about what was about to happen and how he was going to be crucified, Peter confronts Jesus and he says, no, this will never happen to you. Peter loves Jesus. He meant well. But he is telling him the wrong thing. And Jesus knew it. Jesus rebukes Peter. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. By the way, don't say that to your spouse when you think they're telling you the wrong thing. Just some pastorly advice. But I want you to understand this. You see, sometimes God will speak to you in a still small voice, a little whisper, and yet when somebody, a well-meaning spiritual person, tells you, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not telling you not to ever listen to godly counsel. You should. But when you hear the still small voice, you can't allow other voices to override it. All kinds of voices. There's religious voices that try to get you to follow tradition. There's lots of voices of compromise in our world. It's all around us every day. And then there's the voice of reason. I mean, just do the logical thing, you know. But sometimes what the Lord tells us to do is not the logical thing. You know, Jesus spit in the dirt and made mud and put it in a man's eyes and he was healed. You better hear from God before you go putting mud in somebody's eyes. You don't pull somebody out of a wheelchair unless you hear from God. But we also can't just go with the voice of reason. We need to be able to hear when the Lord does tell us to do something unusual. And there's a whole lot of kooky people, and I guess they're well-meaning maybe, but a lot of kooky people do some kooky things, and it brings reproach not only on the Lord, but on the whole concept of hearing from God. And you know that it wasn't God because the fruit's not there. But when we hear God, you see, we can't listen to the loud voices around us. Instead, we have to listen to His voice. One of the things that will speak to you the loudest is just the circumstances of life. You know, rather than making our decisions and choosing our direction by the voice of the Lord, we allow the circumstances of life to push us around. How we need to hear His voice, and that happens when we get still, we get quiet, and we listen. We got to intentionally listen. 1 Samuel 3:10, in the NIV, it says, "Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" You see, when Samuel was just a boy serving in the temple, he hears the voice of the Lord, but he doesn't realize that it's the Lord. He thinks that the priest, Eli, has called him. And he goes to Eli and he says, "Why did you call me?" Eli says, "I didn't call you." This happens a couple of times. And then finally, Eli sends him back. He says, "That's the Lord speaking to you." When you hear that, you say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel does that, and he hears the Lord speak to him. Samuel, this young man, became a great prophet. I want you to realize that when he first heard the voice of the Lord, he didn't recognize it. He didn't know His voice, but he learned real quick. And you see, you can learn to know the voice of the Lord. Samuel became a great prophet. God used him mightily for many, many years. And it started here with this young man saying, "Speak, for your servant is listening." What a great prayer. Asking the Lord to speak and then to listen intentionally, deliberately. To be a good listener, you gotta give the Lord your undivided attention. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody, tell somebody something important while they're watching TV? I know some of you wives, you're like tempted to elbow your husband right now. The game's on, you know, wait till commercial. And you're like, "I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to talk to you about this while you're watching TV." Now, what's more common in our day and time is I'm playing with the phone. "I need to talk to you for a minute." "Yeah, okay, go ahead." "I'm going to walk off. I'm just telling you. I'm not going to play games. If I got to talk to somebody about something important, I'm not going to talk to them about something important while they're looking at their phone." And we need to give the Lord our undivided attention. Some people can't hear from God. Put that phone down. The stupid phone. That's right, stupid phone. Everybody calls them smartphones, but they make people stupid. Good grief. You know, 20 years ago, somebody's going all over the highway like this. I'm like, "Whoa, they must be drinking." Oh, nowadays we know, oh, they're just on their phone. Smartphones making people stupid. But here's the thing. You see, we need to give the Lord our undivided attention. Put away everything else. Set your focus on Him. Be still. Be quiet. Listen to Him deliberately. A little story. Back in the day before they had refrigerators, they had these ice houses. They would build them with thick walls and no windows, and they could bring ice into these ice houses, and they had sawdust in there, and they could keep ice in there well into the summer. It was amazing. One man that worked in the ice house, somehow or another, he lost a treasured watch. And he looked and looked for it. He couldn't ever find it. And he even had his coworkers come in, and they all looked and looked, couldn't find it. Well, little boy slipped into the ice house and closed the door. And in a few minutes, he comes out with the watch. And they're all amazed. They're like, "How in the world did you find the watch?" He said, "Well, I went in and I closed the door and I laid down on the sawdust and got real still and real quiet and I listened and I heard the watch ticking." I want to tell you, I think a whole lot of people would start to hear the Lord more if they just got still and quiet and really listened. The question is not whether God speaks, but whether we are still enough and quiet enough and listening. Then we wait. We need to learn to wait to hear the Lord. I don't like to wait. I hate to wait. My mother disciplined me well pretty much every day. But the worst discipline was when she would say, "You're just going to sit right here in this chair." I hated to wait. She would say, "You sit here until your daddy gets home." Well, I wasn't scared of daddy at all. He was easy. But I hated the waiting, and I'm still that way. I don't have much patience for that kind of patience. You know what I'm saying? Where you just do nothing, like twiddling your thumbs. Drives me crazy. So if it's hard for you to wait, I understand. But if we want to hear God, we got to learn to wait. You know, the world we live in, we just want everything fast. That's fast food, what's that about? Well, you pull up, you know, and you get a meal and drinks for four people in 10 minutes. And we say, 10 minutes, man, that was a long time. Should have taken 3 minutes. We want it quick. We want it fast. You can't do the fast food thing with God. I mean, if you need to say something to me, say it quick, because I got stuff to do. Now, I don't like to wait, but sometimes I do like to go to a really nice restaurant. We enjoy that once in a while. We go to a really nice restaurant. You know, the kind of restaurant where it takes 2 hours to eat. You got different courses and all that kind of stuff. And I enjoy that. And you know what? See, I just think that's worth it. We just need to decide it's worth it to sit in the presence of God and wait. It's worth it. You know, in radio broadcasting, they consider dead air time to be the cardinal sin. You just can't have it, because if you have dead air, you know, then people are just going to switch to a different station. Dead air time will kill your broadcast. And I think a lot of the time people kind of have that mentality about hearing from God. It's like, okay, God, speak to me. Nothing, I'm done. No, you wait. You just wait. See, we are so programmed not to wait. It's just really a matter of self-discipline that we train ourselves. We learn to wait. Psalm 62 and 5. "My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." Psalm 27, 14. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." I mean, anybody need a word from God this morning that you have to wait? Here's another one, Psalm 37, 7. "Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Be still. Be quiet. Listen intently, intentionally, and wait on the Lord." Isaiah 40, 31. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Wait. I don't have time to wait. I got stuff to do. I got kids to take care of. I got to get this house clean. I got to go to work. I got to do my job. And when I get done with that, there's more to do. I mean, we got kids to take here and there and everywhere. I don't have time to wait. And hear me now. It's not even just about us waiting to get this amazing word from God. No, there's something else that happens when we wait on the Lord. He strengthens us. He refreshes us. He restores us. He rests us. But for a lot of us, the more frantic we become, the busier we become, the harder we push. You see, we need to realize it's just making it that much harder for us to ever hear God. How we need to learn to wait on the Lord. Sometimes being still for 3 minutes is not enough. By the way, the Hebrew word for wait, it doesn't mean to do nothing. It doesn't mean inactivity. It is an endeavor in expectation. Like if you have an appointment for somebody to come to your house for a repair, you expect them to show up, right? If you are waiting at your office to meet with somebody, you expect them to come. And that's what the word wait here means. It's an expectation. You're waiting on the Lord because you expect something. You believe that He's coming. Wait on the Lord. You know, whenever you wait on the Lord, it's amazing how you begin to think of all the things that you need to do. Things that you forgot about for 2 weeks, but you're trying to wait on the Lord, and all of a sudden you remember, oh, I need to do that. I need to take care of that. And here's the thing. You know what? If you have to, write it down and take care of it later, but don't get up from your time with the Lord because something came to mind. Don't allow things to distract you from the one thing that is needful. Write it down. You can take care of it later. If you've waited 2 weeks, you can wait 30 more minutes. But don't allow it to keep you from waiting in the presence of the Lord. Sit in His presence and wait. And you say, but what if I wait and I wait and I wait and He never speaks? Well, then you will have sat in the presence. You will have sat for a few minutes with the Almighty, with your focus, your mind on Him, on His goodness, His greatness, His mercy, His love and compassion. You will have sat in the presence of the Lord, where Psalms 16 and 11 tells us there's fullness of joy and pleasures evermore. It's okay to sit in the presence of the Lord and not hear. You will still be blessed. Oh, how we need to do these simple things. Be still. Be quiet. Listen. And wait. Let your soul be refreshed, renewed, restored in the presence of the Lord. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.